From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, July 12th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The committee investigating the Lewiston mass shootings heard Thursday night from the Army mental health specialist who recommended the would-be gunman not have access to guns. And as Kevin Miller reports, he said he conveyed those recommendations to Robert Card's commanders in his Army Reserve unit.
Major Matthew Dickison said he spent 45 minutes to an hour talking to Robert Card last July after members of his reserve unit brought him to the Army Hospital in West Point, New York. As an Army psychiatric nurse practitioner, Dickison said it was clear that Card was, quote, unfit to serve at that particular moment because of his paranoia and psychosis. And while Dickison told commission members that Card didn't make any specific threats during their conversation, he said Card did indicate that, quote, something was going to happen if people continued calling him a pedophile and talking behind his back.
My understanding was he was in charge of running a grenades range at the academy. So I was like, I was very, very concerned about this. That's when I said, okay, he needs to be further assessed.
Card agreed to be admitted to a nearby psychiatric facility, Four Winds Hospital, where he would spend 2 weeks. According to documents discussed during Thursday's meeting, staff at Four Winds told an Army case manager about 11 days into Card's stay that they planned to seek a court order to have him involuntarily committed. But then the hospital released him just 3 days later to return to Maine.
Were you surprised that he was released after a little more than 2 weeks, given the level of paranoia that you saw in him?
For me personally, yeah, sure. I was a little surprised.
Dickison said he didn't believe New York's so-called red flag law could be used to temporarily confiscate Card's personal guns back home in Maine because he was not a New York resident. So he says he talked to one of the reserve unit's leaders, Captain Jeremy Reamer, about his recommendation that Card not have access to guns when he was with the reserves or at home. Commission member Toby Dilworth led that part of the questioning.
And what was his response when you told him that?
He said that he was going to take care of that. I mean, I didn't get a negative response where I, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. My understanding that during, you know, our conversation that was going to happen, sir.
Okay.
What happened or didn't happen next has been the focus of previous commission hearings and is likely to figure heavily into the panel's final report, as well as two separate Army investigations expected to be released soon. Reamer has testified that unlike with active duty service members, he has no authority to order a volunteer reservist to give up their personal guns. Instead, Reamer said he was relying on the Sagadahoc County Sheriff's Office to use Maine's yellow flag law to confiscate the guns. A sheriff's deputy, in turn, has suggested that Reamer and other reserve leaders downplayed Card's threats in September to shoot up the Saco facility, and that Card's family promised to secure his guns. The deputy also said he couldn't yellow flag Card because he never had a face-to-face interaction with him. Card shot more than 30 people at two Lewiston businesses 6 weeks later, killing 18. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Meanwhile, Maine Senator Susan Collins says she's been briefed on the Army's investigation into its handling of Card. She's unable to share more details until the report is final, but says there are troubling revelations.
There are some very serious failures in communication among Army officials, the hospital in New York, local law enforcement, county law enforcement, really at all levels.
Card was briefly hospitalized at a mental health facility during a training mission in New York last summer. But questions remain about why he was released and why his weapons were not removed by local law enforcement in Maine, who were notified that he could pose a threat. Collins says she expects the Army's report to be released by the end of next week. Maine State Fire Marshal Richard McCarthy is stepping down at the end of next month. Department of Public Safety Commissioner Michael Soschuk says that McCarthy is retiring to, quote, pursue an opportunity that's good for him and his family. McCarthy took over the role more than a year ago, at a time when the agency was under fire over allegations of a toxic work environment. The Bangor Daily News reported that employees had raised concerns of poor management for years, and a report from the legislature's watchdog agency described allegations of offensive and misogynistic statements in the workplace. Earlier this year, McCarthy told legislators that morale was improving, but more work needed to be done. Department of Public Safety spokesperson Shannon Moss says McCarthy has increased accountability for actions that fostered a toxic work environment and increased communication and employee feedback. Moss says that the fire marshal position was posted for a national search on Thursday, and the agency plans to conduct a hiring process over the next few months. After raising ticket prices for the first time in 5 years, the Maine State Ferry Service may raise fares again next year. Nick Song has more.
The ferry service is facing a worker shortage, and it's severe enough that some runs to Vinyl Haven have been canceled. Rising costs of maintenance and fuel are also adding pressure. Normally, Maine's Department of Transportation looks at ferry ticket prices every 4 or 5 years. But Department of Transportation spokesperson Paul Merrill says he expects they'll start looking this fall into possible fare increases for next summer.
The cost of operating a ferry service is not the same in 2024 as it was pre-COVID. And certainly, as we see these more acute challenges in the past few months, there is a need for us to address those challenges. It's still early in that discussion, but the expectation is that this is a conversation that has to be had more immediately than waiting another 4 years.
The DOT's State Highway Fund subsidizes 50% of the ferry's operational costs. The revenue from the ferry service covers the remainder. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
The Environmental Protection Agency is recommending that states monitor fish for 12 different PFAS chemicals. The EPA announced the new guidelines, adding 5 PFAS chemicals to its contaminants to monitor for advisories list and 7 to its contaminants to monitor to watch list. The to watch list is a new addition meant for chemicals that are found in the edible tissue of fish that could be a concern for human health but doesn't have an oral toxicity measure from a federal agency. Maine has already issued consumption advisories for 16 bodies of water throughout the state because of high levels of PFAS. The advisories vary by location and species, from recommending not eating any fish from the water body to suggesting less than 9 meals a year of a specific species. 9 people, including 8 from Maine and 1 from New Hampshire, have been sentenced in a long-running commercial fishing scheme. As Nicola Grisco reports, the fishermen pled guilty to underreporting their catch of Atlantic herring, a popular lobster bait.
Federal officials say that in a 3-year scheme, the owner, captain, and crew of a Rockland-based commercial fishing vessel known as the Western Sea knowingly submitted false landings reports to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. According to court records, the crew caught more herring than is typically allowed under weekly federal limits. They sold the excess catch to seafood dealers and some unlicensed processors and received cash or checks in return. Federal officials say that the Western Sea then concealed the income on tax documents. The Western Sea owner and crew members will each serve 2 years of probation and are subject to fines and restitution. 3 seafood dealers were sentenced earlier this year in connection with the scheme. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
Portland City staff have certified a referendum petition that would limit the city's emergency minimum wage ordinance. The ordinance originally passed in 2020 and requires that the minimum wage for Portland's non-remote workers increase by 50% whenever a state of emergency is declared that affects Portland. But the new proposal would limit its application only to times when city leaders declare an emergency. Some businesses say that would help to fix situations like this winter, when wages were boosted for about a week during a storm that didn't significantly impact the city. City staff certified the petition late last month. The Portland City Council is scheduled to hold a public hearing on the referendum in mid-August and would then send the question to voters in November. And Maine native and top basketball prospect Cooper Flagg was honored as the Gatorade Best Male Player of the Year at Thursday's ESPYs award show on ESPN. Awarded to the best high school athletes in the country, past recipients include Jason Tatum and LeBron James. Flagg is widely projected to be the first overall pick in next year's NBA draft and will play this fall at Duke. He and his twin brother Ace grew up in Newport and led Nokomis Regional High School to a state championship before transferring out of state. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Monday morning, as the GOP convention kicks off, we'll take a look at the race for the White House. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.